Columbus, Ohio.
I have so much hate for you, Sean. I have so much hate. Hate, I wish misery upon you, your family, and your soul. I want that. I pray for that. I pray every night. I pray that something happens to you. And you are treated like you treated my son.
It scares me for you to be in the community. It scares me for you to walk out there. Because I don't know if you will put another family through what you're putting us through.
The four walls in this courtroom caged high emotions today, tension that has built up for weeks throughout this trial.
You lied! You lied to me!
Wrapping up with the question, how long will Shante Hardin be behind bars for crimes he defended until the end?
There has been a big contention, as if I'm not apologetic, to the families. Anytime something goes wrong or somebody's dissatisfied, I'm always heartbroken, both personally and professionally. But I was always doing my best to help where they asked me to.
First, Charlotte Weatherspoon, who weeks ago gave an emotional testimony, still saying she hasn't been able to grieve.
You ruined my son's memory. You ruined it. Every time I think of you, this ugliness that you put on me, it overstands the memory. I wish you could just let me bash him in the face. Please, Your Honor.
Welcome to No Tears for Black Girls, a true crime podcast written and produced by award-winning author John Reed Berg. Make sure to hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel and follow us on all social media platforms. You can also download our episodes on the Alive Podcast app or stream them from your preferred platform. Get ready to hold your breath as we dive into the depths of darkness. Let's begin. The pain and heartache of Charlotte Weatherspoon is a daily battle ever since her son, Charles, tragically died in 2019. At only 35 years old, Charles succumbed to a rare and undetected aorta disorder, leaving his family reeling from the sudden loss. Despite fighting through two strokes and a grueling 8-hour surgery, the damage to his brain was too extensive. Now, the Weatherspoons are left with an immense void, struggling to plan a funeral without life insurance or sufficient funds for Charles's wish of cremation. Enter Shante Hardin, a man posing as a funeral director and owner of Celebration of Life Memorial Chapels. Little did they know, Hardin didn't have a license to handle the dead, but that's not even the most shocking part. As it turns out, the Weatherspoon family was just one of many victims who fell prey to this fake funeral director. And as investigations deepened, a chilling discovery was made by urban explorers in January 2022. At least 89 sets of cremains found in an abandoned building next to Hardin's former church. The same church where he had been pastor and owner. A tragic tale of deceit, greed, and utter disregard for the final wishes of those already gone. All at the hands of one man, Shante Hardin.
I was not supposed to make my son 35. I was not. And I miss him so much.
The heartache and pain felt by Charlotte Weatherspoon has become a daily occurrence since the death of her son.
The day my son died, my heart changed, and it's raw. It's raw.
Charles died in December of 2019 from a rare and undetected aorta disorder. He managed to fight through two strokes and an 8-hour surgery, but the damage caused to his brain proved to be too much.
I had plans to bring him home, and he just did not make it. He didn't make it.
The 35-year-old's unexpected death caught his family by surprise, especially since he had no major underlying health conditions.
Knocked the wind out of the whole family. It was a wrecking ball.
Chuck was a funny guy. He loved to make people laugh. He was always willing to help anybody.
In an instant, his grief-stricken family was left with a void, now forced to plan a funeral.
And then I linked up with Lucifer. Lucifer, the funeral director.
With no life insurance and limited cash to carry out Charles' wishes of being cremated, someone referred his family to Shante Hardin.
He presented himself to me as a funeral director. He did not say, I am a concierge, I cut hair, faces, do makeup. No, he said he was a funeral director. He had his own business.
The business? Celebration of Life Memorial Chapels, offering deeply discounted services with traditional cremations and burials ranging in price from $2,000 to $3,000. With hopes of carrying out her only son's final request, Weatherspoon signed this contract with Hardin, totaling $2,050.
He lied from the beginning. From the time it took him to pick him up from the hospital, he harassed me about calling the doctor to get him to release the body. He gets the body. It takes him 2 weeks before he can get him prepared. He played the wrong music. My programs were messed up. It took him almost 30 days to get my ashes back. It was a disaster.
A botched funeral followed by big questions nearly 2 years later after Columbus police got tipped off to two bodies inside this vacant hair salon off Livingston Avenue, sparking an investigation involving the same man who handled Charles Weatherspoon's body, Shante Hardin. Hardin talked only to 10TV News after news of this investigation broke.
They're trying to target me. I become a target because of my race, because of the knowledge that I have, because of my experience.
Hardin admitted to storing the embalmed bodies inside the building.
I become a direct target of the Ohio Board of Embalmers and the funeral establishment, and they're using BCI and the Ohio Attorney General to continue to be a pit bull again, work against me.
BCI tells us this investigation is ongoing, but won't say how long they've been looking into him. The Ohio Department of Funeral Directors and Embalmers says Hardin has never been licensed as a funeral director in the state. He claims that's not the type of business he's operating.
That's not what we do. We are a mortuary support services where we help other funeral homes.
We found that same explanation in fine print inside Hardin's services guide.
Did he ever say the words that I am a funeral director?
I am a funeral director. I am a funeral director, because if not, I just handed my son to the bum standing outside of the damn hospital.
Weatherspoon says she hasn't had a chance to process her grief due to questions now swirling in her head about who she trusted during her darkest hour.
It has devastated me. Losing my son was enough. This is too much. Nobody said this followed losing your son. I would have took him outside and buried him in the garden and to give him. Who did I give him to? Who did I give him to? I gave him to a stranger. I don't even know if those are my ashes of my son.
Weatherspoon now questions whether the ashes dropped off at her doorstep at 1 a.m. are actually those of her son.
The cremation people say their record says it's his. There's a tag missing on there that should be on there, and it's not. How do I know that them are my ashes? I need my ashes tested. Somebody has to explain to me how this happens, and it's just to be scooped under the rug.
The unsuspecting Toledo, Ohio law enforcement officials, had no idea what awaited them when they uncovered a decaying body in an abandoned apartment in January of 2018. Little did they know, this discovery would unravel a tangled web of deception and sorrow that would reverberate throughout the entire state and shake the foundations of the death care industry. The story of Shante Hardin stretches back over 8 years and has left more than 100 families devastated. But behind the facade of a caring death care professional lies a man who never bothered to undergo proper training or licensing. Instead, he chose a path that eventually led him to be convicted on 31 counts of criminal acts related to operating as an unlicensed funeral director. Hardin's dark tale unfolded in a courtroom on July 26, 2022, as his attorneys began their defense. In his testimony, he claimed to have started working at a funeral home at just 12 years old and briefly studied at a mortuary school before being asked to leave without completing the program. However, at age 20, he was already serving time in prison for unauthorized vehicle use, a sign of the crimes to come. Despite having his application for a funeral home license denied in 2014 due to incomplete paperwork, Hardin continued to work at various Ohio funeral homes, handling bodies and assisting with preparations. He even presented himself as a senior pastor at a Baptist church, using his position to steer members towards cheaper funeral services while calling himself a funeral guide rather than a licensed director. But according to prosecutors, Hardin blurred the lines between these two titles by taking control of deceased individuals' remains, often with questionable methods. An affidavit supporting a 2020 warrant to search Hardin's property and vehicles reveals that the Ohio Board of Embalmers and Funeral Directors had received multiple complaints since 2016 regarding his actions. While many alleged that he was posing as a licensed director and embalmer, there were also reports of other suspicious activities. In January 2018, when Toledo police discovered the body of James Pettaway Jr. in that vacant apartment, Hardin had presented himself as a funeral director and instructed the transport driver where to leave the body. This prompted an investigation into abuse of a corpse. Further incidents emerged in 2019, including Hardin writing bad checks totaling $3,755 to a Toledo cemetery for two funerals he conducted without proper permits. Around the same time, he reportedly moved a body from a Columbus funeral home using a station wagon and an upside-down coffee table as makeshift transportation. As details continue to unravel, it's clear that behind Hardin's charming facade lies a man who has caused immeasurable pain and suffering to those who entrusted their loved ones' remains to him. And with more disturbing revelations surfacing every day, it seems this crime story is far from over. The year was 2019. Hardin rolled up to the cemetery in an old, beat-up van, reeking of decay and neglect. He was there for an indigent burial, but his payment check bounced back as unable to find account. This wasn't the first time Hardin had pulled a shady move. Just a few months earlier, a grieving mother entrusted him with $4,700 to bury her son, only to find out that the casket didn't fit the vault, and the cemetery was suing Hardin. And as if that wasn't enough, it was discovered that he wasn't even a licensed embalmer. But it wasn't until 2020, when he was caught red-handed with a stolen van at his church, that authorities began to take notice. During their investigation, they found no tax records for any of the entities run by Hardin. And on top of that, there was a felony warrant out for him for passing bad checks. When a search warrant was finally executed in November 2020, investigators uncovered three boxes filled with cremated remains and other funeral paraphernalia in one of Hardin's vehicles. But the real shocker came in January 2022, when an urban explorer stumbled upon 89 sets of cremains inside a vacant church in Akron, Ohio. It didn't take long for authorities to connect this grim discovery to none other than Shontae Hardin. According to a search warrant issued by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation, Hardin had been operating a funeral home out of that very building under the name Hussein Funeral Home and Celebration of Life. What's more, it turned out the building also housed Greater Faith Missionary Baptist Church, with a sign bearing Hardin's name. Despite his lawyer's claims that he was simply storing the cremains for a deceased funeral director, further investigation revealed that this former director, Robert Tate Jr., had lost his license in 2015 after authorities found 11 bodies decaying in his garage. And so the investigation into Hardin's misdeeds continues. He was indicted by a grand jury for abuse of a corpse in June 2020. And it seems there may be even more skeletons waiting to be unearthed in this twisted tale. It was October 2021, when the Ohio Attorney General's office finally caught up with Shontae Devin Hardin. The charges were staggering. more than 36 counts of providing funeral services without a license. But this wasn't some innocent mistake. Oh no, it was much worse. The details that emerged were chilling. Two bodies found in a makeshift funeral home, abandoned in a building in Columbus. Hardin was charged with engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity, tampering with records, abuse of corpses, and even tax evasion. But those weren't the worst of his crimes. In July 11, 2022, the trial began. The prosecution painted a picture of a man who showed no respect or dignity for the deceased. Witnesses testified against him, police officers, transport providers, morticians, all revealing the disturbing truth about Hardin's actions. And then there were the families, left heartbroken and betrayed by Hardin's deceitful claims. But the defense had their own story to tell. They argued that Hardin was simply trying to help low-income families with affordable funerals. They claimed he didn't commit any crimes or misrepresent himself as a funeral director, but the evidence proved otherwise. In the end, justice prevailed. The judge heard it all, every gruesome detail, and made his decision. Shante Devon Hardin was guilty on all counts. A warning to anyone who dared to dishonor the dead for their own gain. On the fateful day of August 5th, Hardin's fate was sealed as the verdict was announced, guilty on 31 out of 37 charges. The majority of these dark marks on his record were heinous felonies, including engaging in a corrupt web of deceit and tampering with critical documents. But his crimes did not stop there. Unlicensed funeral services, and even disturbingly, abuse of corpses. As the trial concluded, Hardin had one last statement for the press, a feeble attempt to maintain his innocence. But the evidence spoke louder than his words, and it was clear that this so-called pastor had used his position to deceive and manipulate those around him for personal gain. Justice has been served. But it's a haunting reminder of how far some will go in their thirst for power and control. Thank you for tuning in to No Tears for Black Girls, now a part of the Alive Podcast Network, the first Black female-owned and operated network dedicated to amplifying Black voices. If you enjoyed this episode, please show your support by following us on the Alive Podcast app, available on both iPhone and Android. You can also stay connected with us on social media and YouTube at No Tears for Black Girls, or on X at No Tears for BG. Remember to stay loved, stay blessed, and stay safe. Until next time.